Okay. And here we go.
Can I tell you something?
Yes.
This is going to be the most wonderful podcast. And I've seen a lot of podcasts. All of them beautiful. The most divine podcasts out there. I've seen them all. This is going to be the most amazing podcast anyone has ever heard. Amazing. Wonderful. I asked a lot of people. People love the podcast. They always say they're big fans of the podcast.
Mr. Trump, did you do a poll?
Oh.
Can we just go ahead and start the podcast?
No.
Let's hop into it.
Jeez, Pedro. I still got a video
I got to edit.
All right over here. All right over here.
I'm glad you're speaking up over there, Farshad.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for increasing my gains, which I have no idea what that means, but it sounds really good.
Yeah, it
sounds like you're in great shape now.
Wouldn't you want your gains raised?
We are. So let's start this podcast just as Pedro ordered. Today is June 15, 2017. Farghini right here in front of me. On my left is Pedro, and I'm Alejandro. So, guys, let's talk about cars. Yo, hit it, Pedro. You spanked me so fucking hard. My ass is killing me, dude. Ow! God damn it. You're welcome.
All right, hopping into today's podcast, guys, that we actually worked hard a little bit this morning, kind of coming up with topics and ideas, and that's mainly because there wasn't anything off the top of our heads that was like really sticking out. So we had to actually work hard for today's podcast, and I think it's gonna pay its dividends. First thing I want to hop into is what we were talking about is what dream feature, if it were available, would you put in a car?
So the best option, just to clarify in a dumb way, the greatest option you can possibly come up with that doesn't exist in a car.
Yeah, if there's something out there that you've been thinking of, dreaming of, that you want in your car, nobody has, it's not an option.
What do you got?
What would it be?
What do you got, Pedro?
I personally wish that I had dimmable tint. The ability to control the way that it looks. Because if it's nighttime and it's too dark, I want to be able to turn the tint off a little bit. If it's like really bright outside, I want to go like super dark.
Okay, so you know that thing exists. And then Mercedes put it like in cars, Farghini, and correct me if I'm wrong, like 20 years ago. I don't know if you remember like that shitty Mercedes. That I promise, dude, there was a shitty compressor that they came out with 20 years ago. And they were like, guys, this is going to be the affordable Mercedes. Everyone's going to love this. They didn't put like leather seats or anything. But don't ask me why. I was watching TV in Mexico, literally like the regular national whatever. And they had a showing they had a news piece where they showed that Mercedes in a gold collar, like a shitty gold collar. And it had those tints. And
it had could dimmable adjust, like, tint? Really?
It had like 5 or 7 different levels of adjustment.
You sure it wasn't like a couple of different visors that you could pull up?
No. I promise.
I don't know. We're going to have to look into that.
But also the previous Maybach.
Yeah.
Do you remember the roof was like that? The glass roof was like that? Do you remember that?
Ferrari does that. Mercedes does that on their glass roofs. But why is no one doing it for tint?
I think it's super expensive.
It's not that expensive. It's not. I just looked up. There's a company out there that's already doing this where it's you can control it via Wi-Fi. You can control the amount of tint, the color.
But the color, I feel like
that would be amazing.
The thing that you showed me,
yep.
That looks like it's just opaque. Like, you can't see through it.
No, it dims. There's different stages of it, and it's like a smart dim as well. So like it's not like different like clickable levels. However much you turn it or control it, that's what it's going to go to.
So then it's fucking weird why is no one putting this in cars?
Should we say who it is so they can reach out to us? Like we'd love to learn about this.
No. I want it to be a proper integration. I don't want to give them free press.
I want to know why this hasn't made it to mainstream cars.
I don't either. Like,
it doesn't make any sense.
No, because it's a really cool option. Honestly, you know what it could be? It could be a DOT kind of thing. Department of Transportation, NHTSA, which is National Highway Traffic.
Well, where front windows cannot be tinted anything. You can't have any tint on
California. Of course.
Is that just California?
Yeah.
Here you go. Let's get around the problem. When the car is driving, like it's moving, the tint cannot go above 50% tinted.
Oh, yeah. You can fix that.
You can control that with a computer chip. Yeah. But when you're off, You can go 100% tint so that when you're pulling off on a side alley to hook up with your wife or girlfriend when you haven't had a babysitter in a while.
Or wife and girlfriend.
That's a good wife.
There have been
a great girlfriend.
There are situations like that.
Yeah, and just go completely tinted. Or if you're just having a hot box session and you don't want anybody to see you inside.
Oh, man. So now we got to invest in this technology, guys.
This is a great idea.
Now we have to invest in the technology.
Farshad, what about you? What feature would you put in there?
I put a lot of thought into this. I don't know how to execute it, but I kind of know how it would go. So what's the worst thing about getting a car wash? What's the number one worst thing about getting a car
wash? Paying for it.
And then after that, when you leave?
Drying it off.
When you have to roll down your window.
Oh, well, yeah, it always and gets then dirty and disgusting.
Yeah. Like, they can't put some kind of heater system?
You've asked me that before. Yeah, I actually don't think so.
How many times have you been in a situation where
a million times.
So you're talking about a dryer inside the door?
I don't know how it would work, but...
Hang on. Can you just lay down two pieces of cloth on each side when you roll it up and just press it against the window
Are you saying after every car wash I get, you'd like me to hook two rags in there so that it cleans it?
Yes.
And you want me to drive around with these two rags hanging out?
Only on the window that you fucked up.
How about this? But rather than putting some bulky like thing inside of the car to dry them off, why don't we create the sealant to where it doesn't soak up water? Because that's the problem, is that sealant is soaking up water, and then you roll down the windows and it's pushing the water onto the window. Why don't you get something that's more waterproof?
Right. So anyone in the automotive industry that works for a car manufacturer, just let us know why.
Farshad's free idea.
Free idea for today. It actually would save like a lot of
hassle. I agree. No, it pisses me off. I hate and you forget. My car's so clean, and would roll down my windows and like be all
immediately.
You know how like the S-Class?
Wait, why can't they just put like down there where the window rolls, like a little hole where the water's just going to leave and not just be inside of the window?
It's just that soft little velvet sealant.
Yeah, that thing messes the whole thing up. That messes everything.
Damn.
That messes everything up.
Hang on. Your guys' problems are like legitimately awesome.
Okay.
But by the way, before you move on, I want to tell you that the company that does the sealants for that, they control the market.
There's got to be that only one company,
that's
got to
be the only company. Think about it. Have you ever seen a different type of like window sealant?
Nope.
No.
Well, but it's one of those where you're like, do they make them like this for a reason or not?
Right. And also, another thing, you know how like S-Class, every new S-Class comes out, there's always these amazing options that no one needs or thinks about. The new wipers now have the washers. But that's great, right?
Yeah.
In 100 years, we haven't had that innovation, right? Why can't they just put a little thought into this? And like the new S-Class with
drying windows after a car wash.
What would it be called?
I think the problem is marketing.
No, Windomatic. You'd call it Windomatic.
That's a very Mercedes name.
Right? Windomatic.
It's a very 1950s name.
Windomatic.
Introducing Windomatic by Mercedes-Benz.
This episode of Leave It to Beaver is sponsored by Windomatic.
Draw your windows when you fuck up.
What about you, Alejandro? What's your dream?
I am now embarrassed to say mine. I am now embarrassed because mine is not brilliant like yours. Mine comes out of more of a necessity that I encounter myself with all the time. Why can we put toilets in the bathroom?
Oh my God.
Hey, what's so wrong? Like, listen.
What do you mean put a toilet in there?
You're stuck for 2 hours in traffic, and you don't want to get out of the car, take a poop, and come back.
This is for poop also? Well, number one and number two?
Well,
number one on the bus is you never poop on the bus.
Yep.
Why would you do that in your car?
But that's what I'm saying.
Alejandro, what are you going to do about the smell? How are you going to wipe?
Why can they invent something that does all of that for me? There's those like toilets like Mark. Do you know those toilets that Mark has even they whisper to your asshole like, hey.
What
collection agency is that?
Sorry, guys. That's, you don't want to know. But that's mine. Also, when you want to take a piss, my biggest problem is now we're traveling these huge long distances between us and Evan Paul, us, San Diego, like any of those things. It's so far. Or us in Santa Barbara. It's always like an hour drive. And even if I go to the bathroom to take a piss before leaving, in the middle of it, I'm like, fuck, I really need to stop.
Have you thought like how this would work? Like,
let me just be clear here. I haven't put a single... second,
you just want to pay for this option.
A real that's all you want. Behind it. Yeah, I just want someone to tell me.
How about this? Seriously, how much would you pay for this option?
That's worth $8,000.
You would pay $8,000.
$8,000.
Okay, guys, $8,000 up in the air. Whoever could put, which car would you put? You had to put it in one car. Which one?
What do you mean, one
all
car?
Of them?
Yeah.
So all right. Whoever wants to make $3 million from
the problem. The problem is that this can't be solved just by installing this into the car. Like you've got to have like some sort of coordination with your wardrobe and all that kind of stuff. There's because your pants need to be able to pop open while you're driving.
It's a legitimate R&D thing.
And I'm sorry,
okay?
Where does
need to invest $1 billion into this business.
And where does the waste go?
You leave it behind for a BMW driver to go over.
No. You know how Lamborghini has that burn-off valve?
Oh, man. This is real shitty, man. This is a shitty situation.
Literally.
You know what? I was going to give you a lot of flack over this one, but I feel like 75 to 80% of our audience, that's exactly what they would choose.
Everyone's looking at this. Why don't we do a GoFundMe campaign and we all like put the money into R&D and let's just do it.
Because I just don't have $1 billion for R&D. Like you're saying, there's a lot of moving parts for this.
We'll do a Kickstarter campaign.
But I don't think we'll be able to raise $1 billion.
Oh, okay.
I want to do it right. So maybe Porsche wants to partner up with us.
Or Elon Musk. He's a revolutionary.
A lot of these very high profile people and companies are very interested in
what
this.
What if he turns the poop into fuel? Like some kind of
poop? It could be.
I know this sounds shitty, but you're onto something.
So I think that does it for us in this
poop troll.
We don't want to go deeper into this hole.
No.
So it would be the P100 PP?
No, the Poopmatic.
The
Poopmatic 7000. It's got to have like a strong name, like a 7000, because it. You know what that tells you?
Yeah.
It's hefty. it can handle a proper load.
No. It's the Poopmatic number 2.
with Windowmatic.
But that sounds like it's for your kids. Like the 7000 will be able to handle a Pedro shit.
Speaking of, we passed an import company the other day called Italy 2000.
No, it was a furniture. It's a furniture. What street was it on? La Brea.
La Brea. Import furniture.
When you hear Italy 2000, right? And it's like gaudy, like furniture. Who do you think owns something? Who do you think the owner is? What kind of race do you think the owner is?
I just think it's Farshad.
I promise you that Persian, dude's Persian. Right? Yeah, well, I promise you.
Why I want to say Persian. Is that a thing?
Because it's Italy 2000. Yeah.
Wow.
Italy 2000. We love you.
Hey,
here's some free promotion.
The more you know. Yeah, Italy 2000. Hallowed the your boys. You know.
So with all these great ideas and the features that we want in cars, I am 100% positive that none of these features are going to be in any of these new cars that we're about to talk about.
Definitely not.
Especially not mine.
No. So we just saw that McLaren is doing a 570S Spider. And what I know so far about it is they obviously were able to make a Spider version of this car, and they lost zero performance from the car. So they added weight because of the top, but zero performance was lost.
It's McLaren for you.
That's great news.
That's what every car company is doing now, like with those convertibles. I think they're just building them as convertibles. That's what we were talking about the other day.
Like they start out thinking, okay, this will be a convertible.
Well, they say, next year, I'm definitely going to build this as a convertible, so I might as well just start from that,
exactly.
Put a roof on it, and then take it off.
Speaking of a roof, do you know if it's a hard top or a soft top?
I'm sure it's going to be a hard top.
It's a hard top, yeah.
Yeah, right?
Yep.
That's the way they go. But that doesn't really matter. It's all of your cabin because your cabin is so strong and there's no flex.
The chassis, yeah.
That's what
Because from the again, from the ground up, it was built purposely for to be a convertible.
The greatest example for this is I had a 430 Spider. That was like my first big boy supercar. I was like, fuck yeah, I'm killing it. I'm a douche nozzle. It's convertible. It's loud. I got this. And the moment I would go into a driveway and put like two tires in, you hear the chassis go like it was about to break or snap in half. And that doesn't happen right now. Whenever you get in the car, even if it's got the roof down, you get on two wheels, one wheel, whatever, and there's no sound.
Yeah.
You just get on top of that thing.
So you know about this top, right? You know about the Spider for this, right?
No.
It's not like you just go unlatch a couple of things, pull it out, and put it into the front of the car.
Oh, no, it's electric.
It's an electric.
It's
a hard top that actually comes down. So the fact that they lost zero performance after adding all the engineering and components into the car is mind-blowing.
Are they adding horsepower to the car?
No, it's exactly the same performance. Exactly the same. 562 horsepower, 3.8-liter twin-turbo V8.
They didn't up the torque a little bit?
3.1 seconds, 204 miles an hour. It's all the same.
Do you think maybe with a programming or something?
No, dude. It's all rigidity because at that point, how much do you think the car weighs more? Like 20, 30 kilos?
Probably.
That's nothing, dude. Yep. That's a third of me. kind of like half.
Which part of you?
Almost.
Which third of you? Which third?
Almost. That's not a lot of weight added to the car. The car already has an impressive performance, and all you got to do is make sure that your carbon fiber is rigid as fuck, and that's that. That's why Pagani, the BC and the Roadster, I don't know if they added it to the BC, but the Roadster had or is going to use the brand new carbon fiber technology, and Horatio was showing us. He put like three laminates of the regular carbon fiber, and then he told me, bend this, and it bends easily. Even when you like play with the little carbon fiber piece, it goes up and down. But the other one, he only had one piece of the brand new one. You could not bend anything at all on that. And I'm not sure if McLaren has access to that type of carbon fiber and all of that technology, but I know Pagani had it. So just think of that. There's no give. There's no movement. Right. The chassis is not going to roll. Yeah, it's perfect.
So this car is priced at $208,000. So the first 200 models that come off are going to be launch edition models, which is typical of McLaren. And also the release schedule that they do with all of their cars, they come out with the coupe, and then a year and a half to 2 years later, they come out with the Spider. Like it's always right on schedule. But what I want to ask you is, like, at $208,000 for that car, like, what is that to you? Like, is that something that you would go after for that? Because it's $200,000 less than the 675 LT, but it's not too far off in performance numbers.
It's a completely different experience, but I don't think you're going to compare it with that and say,
but it's a very but it's a very attainable supercar is the
no,
thing,
but
right?
That's what I'm you getting what at. Mean? So you're looking at that, yeah. A Porsche Turbo.
Well, I was going to say
a Bentley GT. Like, those are shitty options compared to that McLaren.
Is there any sports cars, like real sports cars, that you think?
Hey, a Ferrari California is more expensive than this car.
Oh. Which is
absolutely ridiculous.
It doesn't even hold a candle to this.
Pedro, please don't talk shit about your beloved Ferrari.
No, I love McLaren just as I love Ferrari. I know.
So basically, the Turbo.
Yeah.
And the California.
The Turbo, the California. What?
Sports car. Oof, yeah.
But that's a very highly attainable car.
Actually,
as far as prices are concerned.
Yeah, but the NSX already suffered through depreciation.
So that price point for the McLaren is not that bad.
No, it's actually
really consider
what
you're
getting. That was McLaren's thing. They were coming into that space saying Ferrari moved away from it because the 430 back in the day was a $220,000 car. When they introduced the California at a cheaper price, like 180, 200s, they were like, we're going to up the 458.
Yeah, cool.
And then they just went nuts. I mean, how much is a 488?
It's like 350.
350, a Spider.
But most of them we've seen go up to like 400.
350, but they're trading right now at top price, 370, 380. Everybody's wanting 400,
yeah,
but
no one's getting it. Yeah. But, I mean, the car's already suffering from it.
Yes.
It's just McLaren's just doing all the right moves. And I'm sorry that I'm just like, ooh, McLaren. They are. They nailed it with this one. They knew that everyone was shying away from that supercar price. And they were like, we'll fucking go in.
Let me ask you this. Would you rather get a 488 or a 570? This one, the convertible?
Yeah.
And like a turbo. Like, that would be almost the same price, right?
Oh, yeah.
What would you do?
It's close. Okay, you know what? Forget about that. You can get an S63.
Okay.
Slightly used, no, almost a brand new S63.
Okay.
And then McLaren. What would you do, Pedro, since you like that 48? from the horse's mouth.
Literally.
I would probably go 570S and the Panamera Sport Turismo.
Oh, there you
over
go.
Over the 488?
Dude.
Okay.
But that's what I'm saying. Over the 488.
Of course. Of course.
So what's the appeal here? Oh, you're buying a Ferrari?
Well, it's a Ferrari. So
Hang on. So you're buying the Ferrari. Girls, if you're driving a California or that 488 or an F12 or a 430, are not going to know you're a badass bought a 488. They're not. Your homies will, but it's not that impressive to have a 488.
Yeah.
So what's...
It's not unless it's completely slammed and loud as hell.
Like that. Oh yeah.
The one
then
that we
it's
had this
totally
week.
Worth it.
Ooh. Yeah.
Then it's totally worth it.
Yeah.
But honestly, that's a great car, a great deal that McLaren put together for that car.
I think so. And it's really exciting because New York Auto Show, that's where the 570S debuted in 2015.
Yeah.
And then this year it's actually going to debut. The 570 Spider is going to debut at Goodwood, so I'm a little bummed that, you know, all the UK guys get to experience these cars again. They get the fun stuff. So,
but listen, the cool thing is we get to see them at the show when they present them.
We get to see them on YouTube.
One of these days we'll go to one of these like big festivals in the UK.
One of these days.
London is our number two market.
On my Instagram too.
Yeah, on my Instagram too.
YouTube and all of our Instagrams.
Yeah.
London actually goes back and forth between Mexico City on mine.
Do you?
I think it's because people know me as Pedro.
They think he's Canelo.
I go L.A. and then London, and then I go New York. I don't even have Mexico City anywhere near my
Mine's L.A., London, or L.A., Mexico City, depending on
incredible. What about you, Farghini?
I'm the same as you.
Yeah?
Mine's the same demographics as you. By the way, if we ever go to...
It's so weird, dude.
It's really funny. If we ever go to England, if we ever go, how are we going to deal with the left-hand, right-hand... That's going to be so weird, no?
So easy.
Oh, it's easy?
Won't drive.
They have Uber there, right?
I hope so.
The Uber.
It's
going to be an Uber.
So speaking of the Panamera Sport Turismo, there was actually some other exciting news in the wagon game, and Jaguar is releasing their own sport brake.
By the way, can we talk about the name Jaguar and how there's 17 different ways to say it? Do people say it differently?
Jaguar.
Let's talk about that.
Eat my dick.
Sorry. I just want to point out that everyone has their own interpretation of how to say Jaguar.
Jaguar.
Well, the two ways that you guys are saying it is wrong.
How about this?
Wait, hold on. You're saying
Jaguar.
Jaguar?
Yeah.
Jaguar. I think it's Jaguar.
Jaguar.
Yeah, Jaguar.
I got it. Hold on.
Jaguar.
Oh, nice.
Jaguar.
I actually believed you there, Farghini.
Okay, so we've spent a little too much time on Jaguar, but they have the XF Sport Brake, okay? And they confirmed that the car is going to be coming to the United States. So that's a good thing because these wagons and all these different kind of even the hatchbacky kind of cars, like they don't do well in the States, or they haven't for a long time because, you know, the people who make the money here in the States don't think that we want them.
That's true.
But now they're making a comeback, and I think people are getting really, really excited about with the 5 Series Touring, with the E Series wagon, and then now the Sport Brake, and also the A6 Avant, Audi A6 Avant, which, God, I would love to have.
They're bringing here?
That's not coming to the States.
Oh, okay.
No.
Because I've been hunting for an RS6 all of my life. And they're just not that. But
No, I'm sorry. The A6 Avant is in the States, but the RS6 is not.
Oh, they keep doing this to me, and that's one of the greatest cars ever made.
What do you feel about wagons over SUVs?
So I love wagons. I don't think you can compare SUV and wagon. I think they all should exist in their own environments, and people that want an SUV won't go buy a wagon. People that want a wagon won't go buy an SUV. The one thing I've noticed is younger people are the ones that are liking the wagons.
Exactly.
Because if you look at the high-end, the high-priced ones, they're still not there. That's like an older market, obviously. Yeah, yeah. Like the FF, the Lusso.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They land at the dealership, dude, and without them telling you anything, it's like, it's a $370,000 car, but I think today we can give it to you for $270,000. And you're like, is this used? No, it's a brand new car. Why? You just love so much. They can't fucking get rid of them.
Yeah.
They can't because Americans don't like them. To me, they're the most in the president's voice, they're the most beautiful cars ever made. And I've seen a lot of beautiful cars made. Right. But this one, the most beautiful. What about you, Pedro?
Are you a wagon guy or an SUV guy?
You guys, everybody knows I'm a wagon guy. I love wagons. The Lusso, I'm crazy for.
I know, me too.
If I had the money like to really, really spend, like I would go. I would buy a Lusso. Easily, like I would go for it all day long, but like these other wagons, like I want an AMG E-Wagon.
I went through
and I saw a 5 Series Touring Edition, like a BMW 5 Series Touring Edition. I love it. I really, really do, and I wish that they would make it like a more high performance version of that car. Like
I think in Europe they have an M.
Do they have it? They have
a full M5 version of, like a full M5?
Oh my god! Like I think it's beautiful. Like everything inside, like it looks great. And what I like most about that Touring Edition from BMW is they have like a double hatch back.
Yeah,
like it's a double hatch
like a split.
So the window will go up, but the gate doesn't go down. It goes up as well.
What?
It's crazy. I swear to you.
Oh, so it's like a two-parter.
So the window goes up, and then also the door can go up. And I thought, like, just camera-wise, that would be amazing to shoot out of.
Yeah. That's only the only problem is that it's a BMW.
Well, yeah.
That's the greatest problem. That's the only problem yeah. that.
But I think it's great. I want to give BMW a little praise here where it's due. It's just I hope this one doesn't catch on fire like that M5 going around.
Oh man! Wait, before we get to that, I think in Europe wagons are huge.
No, they're humongous. Right? Also in Mexico.
Yeah,
anywhere except in this country for some reason.
Yeah,
I was lucky enough to grow up in Mexico,
right,
where I saw it and I experienced it, and I actually got. I don't know, a big love for them. I really have a big love for them. And whenever I came here and I saw that there's all these pickup trucks that are humongous, I was like, what the fuck?
But back in the day in the U.S., wagons were huge too. I think before the 80s, before Chrysler did the first minivan. The minivan killed the wagon in the U.S., in my opinion.
But who likes a...
Did you ever see the first minivan? Have you seen the Chrysler first minivan? Before then, it was just like we all had wagons.
Like the Aerostar.
It was like here's this humongous thing you could put 18 people in, and then it's just like game over.
But it's a whole different. But now it's a different car because you're not buying a hatchback to put 18 people. You're buying the hatchback because it's cool.
It's cool. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So let's get back to this. The specifically the XF Sport Break. I want to go over some of the details of it, mm-hmm. and then I'm going to ask you how much you think it is and what you would pay for it.
Hit it.
So this is only going to be offered exclusively with a 6-cylinder 3.0-liter turbocharged gasoline engine with 380 horsepower, 8-speed automatic transmission, 0 to 60 in 5.3 seconds, and electronically limited to a top speed of 121 miles an hour.
I got a price. What do you got, Farshad?
Ready?
Go for it.
68,000.
72,000. And that's, my friends, is the biggest problem with wagons in the United States is they overprice them. They overprice them because of the space. They think because they should be competing in the luxury SUV market.
No.
But that's the thing. For that money, I'll go get a luxury SUV.
No doubt. Yeah. All day, I'll go buy a crossover like the GLE Coupe.
Yep, yep. That sounds like a $50,000-$60,000 car.
Yeah. $55,000, I would.
All day, right?
All day long. But Jaguar in particular, they're struggling. They're struggling in the United States. Like the XF in general, like they're down 46% year over year on the sales. And so I think that's why they're bringing this one in, is hoping that it's going to boost the sales. But at this kind of price point, they're just shooting themselves in the foot. They're just bringing more cars to market that are going to struggle.
Yeah, which is going to depreciate them more. Yeah. So that's going to leave them with, we should not bring them at all.
Yeah.
Or just bring the cheap ones too.
Yeah.
Because they should bring the cheap ones.
Yeah. Yeah, they really should.
But do you think Jaguar, like, is like, all right, it's 70 grand, but when you go to the dealership, it's like 55.
Yeah,
55 grand.
These cars, seriously, if they would bring these cars with a less like high performance engine and just keep it a little basic, it could come in and compete in the minivan range, something that's a little more sporty and fun for the families, because that's who they should be targeting. They shouldn't be targeting like the young adventure, like new couple, married, going to go to the mountains type of thing. Don't go after them. Go after the families, the people that want to get more people into the car and more luggage so they can go see their Aunt Judith down the street.
But I'm telling you, that's the problem with this. The problem is that those people that are going to go see Aunt Judah or whatever her name is.
Judith.
It's a Mexican thing.
By the way, I don't know any Judiths. I don't know where that came from.
I know a Judith. So,
That's Judith. That's Judith. You just say it funny.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I practiced all my life. I totally forgot where I was going with this. No.
Judith.
No, if you the problem is everyone's targeting those people and those people don't want it. What I'm saying is in the United States, the only people or the bigger group that is showing interest in those is the younger people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, don't force feed the other people the fucking thing they don't want. Make it available, but start with the younger ones. This is the problem with this one. Jaggy's bringing the big boy one, like pricing it for a big boy car.
But here's also the problem that Jag has, okay? They have
Hang on.
One of the problems. Okay. Sorry, one of the problems.
Okay. I thought you were just going to run it through a list.
It's about perception also. So if Audi, BMW, and whatever is selling their wagons in the 70s, and if you're selling yours in the 50s, you're not going to be perceived as their level.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
And this is a yes or no question so that we don't waste any time on it. Do you think Jaguar's at the same level of BMW, Audi, and Mercedes, Pedro?
No.
Do you think so?
No.
I don't think so either. No. Period.
But that's the problem with so many people is that they think they're at a level that they're not. Exactly. There's not people that have a good introspective like personality, and they need to be able to understand who they are and take a self-analyzation of what they're doing.
That's
and right now, these companies aren't, and they're just going to kill themselves because of it.
That's right. And right now, in this very fast evolving market that just keeps changing every year with the new things that keep coming out so fast. Yeah, companies that are just struggling to understand who they are and understand like who their clientele is are gonna get out, like gonna be at it.
But you know, somebody who's figuring themselves out.
Who?
Aston Martin.
They are. That's a great transition. Yeah. I see what you did.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Aston Martin is really figuring themselves out, and I'm starting to see little piece after piece kind of fall into the bucket right here, especially like now that we're starting to see. Not quite a working prototype, but we're getting closer with the Valkyrie.
It got new options, right? It got a new option.
It got a friend in Serena Williams, apparently. I don't know why that made a headline, by the way.
I can't believe that made a headline. Like, no one, I don't mean this whatsoever in any bad way for Serena Williams.
She's
tremendous.
Kick your ass, you know she's going to
I
kick
know
your
that,
ass.
Okay. But she's tremendous as an athlete and as herself. Those two don't go hand in hand with publicity. I just think, again, Aston Martin doesn't know that.
No. It's not. Aston Martin didn't write that headline. They didn't take care of that. This is what I'm talking about when we started the show, that it was so dead with news this week that's what made a headline. You know what I mean? Like,
do you think Serena Williams?
You're actually totally right.
Yeah, of course.
I didn't even think of that.
Do you think Serena had any idea what that
she
is?
She was just taking a picture with
her. Right. I don't think she had any idea what that
no.
is.
It was like Jerry Seinfeld with Kesha.
Oh.
Like, no.
Poor Kesha.
Poor Serena Kesha. Was Jerry Seinfeld, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
That was so funny.
What was the option they added to headlights, right?
Headlights. But there's also some
the
little pieces. Yeah, the headlights, taillights. And there's also some other little features. There was a little kind of cutout on the front.
Windshield?
The front bumper?
No. Yeah, the front bumper where it's kind of cut out where you can start seeing where some of the mechanics are going to take place on the door.
Did you see the picture from the rear?
I didn't.
Okay.
I didn't see that.
Okay. That will give you an aero boner. That's right. That's a new type of boner that you get when you see
an aero boner or aero boner?
Aero boners.
Aero boner? Okay.
Oh, wow. I'm looking at it now. Holy
How
smokes.
Insane is that? It looks for you guys, because obviously this is a podcast and you're not looking at what we're looking at. The car is just a humongous hole with a little bit of car.
Wow.
You know what it kind of looks like? If you're coming into San Francisco and you're getting ready to go over the Golden Gate Bridge.
And you start beating up innocent people.
And there's those two sets of tunnels. One where you're going towards the Golden Gate, one where you're leaving the Golden Gate.
Yeah.
It basically looks like those two entry-level tunnels that are going under the car.
It really does. It really does. Like, yeah,
go ahead. Go ahead. Just don't.
And the... So this
over.
Is why this whoa. Is why whoa, whoa, I wanted whoa. This car so bad, and the Project One's going to be following suit
way. I'm gonna post a picture on salamandra.com so that you guys can see. So if you want to see these pictures, they'll be on salamandra.com.
Thank you for the plug, Pedro.
You're welcome.
Yes.
You're welcome.
They'll be there. Go to salamandra.com.
The other thing
now.
I noticed, did you see the wiper?
No.
Yes, they added the wiper. You're right.
I know there's no way around it, but it's just one big wiper in the center. Will. I'm sure they don't want it there. I'm sure nobody wants it there.
It's actually super cool. When you're
driving
a car with one wiper.
You like that?
Yeah. I thought I would hate it.
Yeah.
Which one was it?
Didn't the McLaren have it? Or
I can't remember which. Also, the Pagani.
Did that have one?
You've had it before. I remember.
I've definitely had it. I can't remember, but I remember saying, this is actually really fucking cool.
Yeah. I can't remember which one it was either, but you're right. You did have a car with a
single wiper.
Because I've seen it before.
Yeah.
I've seen it done.
Hopefully the Valkyrie will have the Windowmatic also.
the Windowmatic. At that point, they better put it in.
Yeah. They work with Mercedes. They could put that in.
Yeah.
No, but this car, man, I cannot wait to see this in person. Like,
no, I cannot wait to put that against the Project One on a track and see what on earth happens. And the one I want to see also on a track, but not as much as performance, is the BP23 by McLaren.
Yes, yes.
I want to see what that fucking thing can do on a racetrack. Because they were originally saying they were going to build it just for a racetrack, but it's a three-passenger thing, comfortable. And you know McLaren's got like that black magic type of shit that they pull out of nowhere. I am dying to see that. Those three on the track, that's going to be the next Hyper 5.
Wait a second. Did you see the doors and how to get in the car of the Valkyrie?
No.
There's a there's a picture here. There's a picture here. I hope you're ready. I'm going to post this one on the side.
Don't mess with us, Pedro.
Side as well. This is what we've been talking about, and it's...
Let me ask you this. Is the door thick as fuck, or is it the tub?
The tub.
No!
It's the tub. Everything's going to go tub.
Oh, no, no, no. You put that part on the door, but I bet rigidity would be impossible.
So if you're getting one of these, it's impossible for me to ever get into it. That, unless you got a hoist.
Or no, you'll
like
never fit.
Yeah, unless you like hoisted me into
that. No, you'll never fit in that.
That's kind of sad that I can't get in this car.
I don't think anyone...
Trust me, I'm going to have a hard time getting in that
I don't know.
You and I aren't sitting in that car.
Even my small self don't think I can fit in trunks, but I
feel like we've
got to
throw you in. You know what I mean? Like, we'll lift you up and just like throw you in.
I'm going to buy a crane.
Yeah, we got
to... Dude. That just drops me in.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll be honest. I don't want to get in this car because I'm afraid I will break the door closing it. It's that small and
that
light.
That too. And I bet you that door, it's like...
Wait, we got to give a little backstory about Pedro and doors.
Well, he's the best at closing the soft closed doors, the hardest ever.
I feel bad for soft closed doors when they're closed by Pedro.
When they're handled by Pedro.
And I feel like the soft closed doors just want to tell Pedro, you know, we are soft closed doors.
What's funny is soft closed doors are one of my favorite features in luxury cars. It's one of my favorite features.
I don't think you would ever have the problem of not being able to close a door. Even on the G-Wagon, the way you close it normal is the way it closes.
I think for me, it's like... When I have my hands full and I close the door with my hip like Farshad closes the fridge door with his hip, the soft closed door catches it and pulls it in nice and tight.
I love that.
It's classy. It's just like an elegant way to...
It's like a little... not just the car that does normal things.
It's unsophisticated to slam your to slam your door. Just one more thing. You know how us minorities were very famous for fitting more than the number of seatbelts in a car?
No doubt.
We'll load up... What do you think is going to happen with the 3-passenger McLaren? How many people can we put in there?
I think we could easily do five people.
Should we do a chat? If you get one,
five people in the BP23?
So you know, the BP23, I'll never be able to get.
Hey, never say never, but you'll never get one. Eventually, you'll get one.
I don't know. I don't think there's any way we're getting more than 3 people in the BP23.
Especially his people.
Listen, Pedro. We did the 23andMe test, and based on my results and Farghini's results, we know for a fact that you cannot fit more than 3 people in that car.
No.
But we
can.
We definitely can.
My DNA test tells me that I am more likely to be oversized than anything.
There you go. So your people do the same thing. They can't fit. Yeah. Yep. It's an immigrant, a foreigner thing.
Yeah.
An immigrant thing.
So I want to talk some Tesla news really quick, because we also saw this week that the Tesla Model X is actually last week when we saw it, the Tesla Model X received the highest crash rating of any SUV on the market.
What an incredible way to
so basically you went from the safest SUV on the market to the most dangerous SUV on the market.
That can literally be taken by a Prius out.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I actually wanted to make like a funny video about that.
Yep.
But I just couldn't come up with the right way of doing it. But I literally went from telling my wife, babe, you should just drive the Model X. That's the car I want to see you drive because it's safe, whatever. And mind you, those test results were not out when I was...
Yeah, what took them so long? That could have saved you.
I know. And then I went and said...
Did you guys see the video? Can we post the videos on Salamandra.com? Did you guys see the crash videos? Did you see the crash videos?
Yes, we can. Go to Salamandra.com and we'll post those.
That was incredible.
Well,
it did not go past the firewall. Nothing. Like, there wasn't a scratch on the car. I would love to put my family in.
It was really impressive. And everyone always, and this is why Tesla, one of the greatest present companies right now, just passed BMW's valuation, all that stuff. It's because of that, because they are, even though all these people are hating on them, when you go on and read them on magazines, online blogs, and all that stuff, everyone's hating on the quality of build.
But they're gonna get there. They're gonna get there.
No. It's not about the quality of build, because if a car is safe at the same time, the quality of build, you gotta say that it's pretty fucking good.
Those videos are undeniable.
That's what I'm saying. So all these people just throwing shade at Tesla are just making it better for investors that are getting into it right now.
Elon must just be on cloud nine right now. Cloud
and I really can't believe that after telling Belen to not drive the G-Wagon, I ended up trading my Model X and buying a 4x4 square that can be taken down by a Prius. But I've done stupider things, right?
Of course.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank but I think another important thing that you brought up was Tesla passing BMW as the fourth highest, in market cap.
Valued company. Yeah.
No, I think it's one of the craziest things because we thought it was a big deal. Gosh, I guess it was 6 months to a year ago when they passed Ford.
Yeah.
No, actually it was earlier this year. It was earlier in January.
But that's 6 months, just so you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. They're passing quick.
Yeah.
So they passed Ford. We thought that was a big deal. And then everybody was like, oh, no. Ford is trading low. That's this and that. Then they passed GM. GM still trades lower than Tesla because, Tesla, they view it as a Silicon Valley company, tech, a lot of great minds out there working for them. So they get a bigger valuation. But now they're stepping up ahead of BMW, which is a massive company. Yep. Like.
Hey, look at Farshad.
I don't know. I'm trying to debate whether it does it take a lot to be over them, or is that like a
it
great...
It does, because they have a crazy revenue. BMW, I think they have like a $15 to $17 billion revenue a year.
Yeah.
They kill, Farghini. They kill. And
no, they do kill. They do. They do, Alejandro. I know they do.
You motherfucker. So they do kill in that sense, but they also kill the market because they do sell a lot of units. They do move a lot of units. But this is something that shows you where the future is going, where the companies, where the trends are. Right. And a lot of people are going to say, well, Tesla doesn't move as many units as GM. Tesla doesn't move any units compared to BMW. It doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah, and the thing is, I don't know.
It's the future. You're betting on the future when you're playing at that stock market.
What does that tell you?
Everything that this company is passing is telling you it's far behind them.
Yeah, exactly. And the one thing I was just reading, I know nothing about market caps. And is a market cap like a hat? Is that like a hat?
It's a hat that you get.
whatever it is.
Just for people listening to us that don't know what the market cap is, it's the total value of a company, if you will. Easily explained.
I was reading that everyone is just betting on them for the future. That's what it all comes down to. Yeah. Not today, not how many units today.
If you look at it, like BMW, and this is from InsideEVs.com, where we're getting the information, because I want to make sure.
I'm sorry, I just thought of something tremendous. I was like, can I
go ahead.
Totally interrupt you? Because we're talking about like future and who you're betting on, right. And then you go, BMW came out with a i8,
right?
Tesla came out with a fucking Model X, the Model 3, like all of these crazy cars, and then BMW, all they have to show for with technology is the i8.
Oh no, there's they're gonna electrify some of their cars.
No, they are, but like you're talking about.
No, they are. They really are.
He's talking about fire. Go ahead, buddy.
I think that's important to say is because BMW is building on market demand, where Tesla is building on market future, and that's what people are going on. Because if you look at it, BMW, they sold 2.4 million cars last year, and 2.4 million cars. That's
really scary. That's frightening.
Why it's such a funny joke to us and why it always continues to come true is because there are so many BMWs out there around us.
There really are.
But then you look at Tesla, they sold 80,000 vehicles.
Wow. Yeah.
80,000 vehicles.
Last year.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So with all that being said, like it's a clear indicator that people are betting on the future with Tesla. They're saying that this company is the one that's going to change. And I think it's also a great indicator, and I want to make this a segue in case you guys have nothing left to say about it.
I see it coming and I like
it. Is people are betting on the electric vehicles, and that's why a company like Rimac, because of the crash that happened with Richard Hammond, that company's not going away.
Oh, no.
Rimac is not going anywhere. No. Electric cars are here to stay, guys.
Yep. And we just talked about it on the Let's Talk About Cars show. Just giving you... Let's give everyone a little background.
No, go ahead. You just talked about it, please.
So Richard Hammond, Top Gear presenter, former Top Gear presenter, and now Grand Tour presenter, one of my fucking heroes in this. He's living the life that I want to live.
He's also the same height. You guys are the same height.
We're not. He's shorter than I am. Richard, that's no disrespect.
I meant on camera.
Yes,
on camera.
It's also funny. His nickname is the hamster, and your nickname is the squirrel.
My wife is the one who calls me that, okay? Before anyone starts calling me a fucking squirrel out there. That would be really weird. Really weird. Richard was doing a hill climb in Switzerland for the show. And a hill climb, for those of you guys who don't know what that is you're going to go as fast as you can in a car from the bottom of a hill all the way to the mountaintop. And that's where you end the race, boop, and they clock your time. You can understand how crazy dangerous that is because you're going up a mountain. The moment you fuck up, you're coming down the mountain. And you're not going to come through the paved roads.
Right.
So they were filming the Grand Tour Season 2 in Switzerland. They're doing a hill climb, and they were going to time it, and he was doing it in the Rimac Concept One. The Rimac is the all-electric hypercar. It's the I'm dead serious, guys. We drove it. There's videos everywhere. It's the first car to beat the 918 on a drag race. That car, there's no other car that goes faster from pressing the gas pedal to cover a massive distance out of nowhere. I know that you guys see the Koenigsegg videos of the Koenigsegg passing super fast and the Veyron like winding up and like getting ready to go. This car just does that from the moment you step on it. No one can understand the amount of ground that you'll cover with a little one of those and how steady the car will be. So I'm sure just by looking at it, there's no official statements, there's nothing. Just by looking at the X and pure speculation, I'm guessing that Richard stepped on it on that straight before the turns way too, like...
aggressively.
He was not expecting the car to legitimately just kick him the way he did. Right. And once he got to that place when he realized, fuck, he let go and the car just went down. And we're focusing this on the future of these cars, right?
Yep.
So everyone's blaming maybe it's Rimac, whatever, because the car caught on fire later. But what no one is showing, and this is what's pissing me off, because the moment that accident happened, we started getting messages, and especially myself, because of the show that we did before with them. Everyone's like, how's Matt going to take this? What's going on with Rimac? Blah, blah, blah. Like, literally, the video when I watched it had 100 views. So it was brand new, everything. And then I started getting more pictures and video. The car didn't fall like a little bit. That car came down half that mountain, landed on a paved road. Yeah, of course, like turning, paved road, turn, down the mountain even more. And Richard was able to get out of the car himself.
I was about to tell you this.
Himself.
That in itself is amazing.
And that's an all-electric car.
And on top of that, Jeremy Clarkson's statement was that it was the scariest and most ridiculous crash that he has ever seen.
Yeah.
It was the most ridiculous, craziest crash he's ever seen. And he got out of the car. Richard Hammond got out of the car.
With a broken knee, and that's
just a broken knee, and that's it. He's fine.
Yeah.
That in itself is
making me crazy for not buying a Concept One. And I also asked on the Let's Talk About Cars, if anyone knows for one for sale. Because very interested guy right here, now that I know that he can handle that type of shit.
And this is my two cents about the fire and the crash. It was a crash. It was an accident. Like, it could have happened in a Veyron. It could have happened
But it's not about that. Everyone's just going crazy about the car catching on fire afterwards. And this is like why everyone's so against the Teslas. Because what if you crash and catch on fire? Yeah. Some electric vehicles have, you know, crashed and caught on fire. But this Rimac, if that would have been a Veyron, if that would have been a Mercedes, it would have caught on fire on the way down.
Yeah.
Just so that we're all
exactly.
fucking clear. That uses gasoline.
Yeah, like... It was a huge accident. There's going to be fire. There's electricity. There's power.
The car sat there for a while before catching on fire and all of that stuff. Life. But, dude, if you shoot your iPhone, fire will come out of it. If you, like, do anything.
Hunter, what are you talking about? Your LG, your Samsung phone in your pocket.
If you have a Galaxy,
pocket,
a Galaxy on a plane, it'll explode.
It's as simple
Take
as that.
Take it easy. Yeah. So what we're saying is the technology is there. The safety is there. It's just people trying to make up excuses to go against technology and advancement.
We were just talking about Tesla and how safe that was, and now we're like, these electric cars are
no joke. But that's what I'm saying.
But the thing is, it's not just people saying, oh, I don't like electric vehicles. I like my gas engine. I like going and drive. It's bigger than that. It's way, way bigger than that. It's bigger than the consumer, you know, being happy with a gas guzzling car versus an electric car. It's companies that have a stronghold on their cars and not having the grasp of the technology that's coming, and then also being able to have connections and controlling where these oil reserves and where the money's coming from.
Guys, this
like
is
it's
simple.
Much bigger than that.
This is actually pretty simple. I mean, the car as we know it today, the regular one, is like calling on your landline.
Yes.
The electric car is your cell phone.
We're waiting for the iPhone of the cars.
Exactly. It's your cell phone. And this is the final form of it, just like the car. The car wasn't perfect. The car wasn't ready until these electric cars came out.
Right.
These cars are fucking perfect.
Yep.
Obviously, some flaws. Yep. But you know what I'm saying. That's the perfect form of the car. No polluting, clean, instant torque. They can drive themselves. You can drive it. You can adjust all the variables on it.
And it recharges your phone really well. CarPlay.
No, it really does. It has a way better integration with all of our new technology, too. So it's obvious that it's going to be way better and safer. It's just people that want to hold on to the past. You know what it is? And I've always used this example. The people that when they change Facebook and they put the timeline on it and complain and complain. You're like, it's been 3 months, dude. Leave the fucking thing yeah. or stay.
Yeah.
Do you see any of those people complain today?
I don't know. I left that timeline and went to Instagram.
Like, you know the guy's a Remak, right?
Yeah.
Is there any way I can get that card and give it to Vic? I know. Listen, I know. First of all, we need to know if Vic can, if we can handle
it. So this is what I'm saying. You're trying to buy the car. Did you already talk to Vic about this? Or
no, Vic doesn't care. Just give him 70 grand. Even though I think this is going to be more than 70 grand.
No.
You don't have 70 grand.
No. This time around, we have it on video where he says, I can make anything happen for 70 grand.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah.
We have it on video.
Yeah.
But he said that in Nevada, so...
Oh,
we can't. I don't know if verbal is.
You're reminding. No,
you're absolutely right. Yeah, we didn't say anything about California.
Yeah. God damn it! So there's a lot of changes happening right now. There's a lot of change in technology, and people are either going to accept it or they're not. And it's also we're seeing.
It's happening.
All of the new cars that are coming out in 2019, like they're coming with that new technology or a form of it. And I know Remak is involved with a lot of it, especially with the Valkyrie. We've seen it. So the new technology is coming. And something that we're seeing now is that because of the new stuff that's coming out and what's going on with the market, we're seeing a great impact on, you know, our holy trinity right now as we know it. Like with the LaFerrari, the 918, the P1, like they're struggling to sell. Like they're incredible, great cars, but nobody wants to touch them because, one, we have the warranties that are coming up.
And
the big kicker on that is because a lot of people collect these cars, and now they're trying to move them so that they can get into the 2019 vehicles, but nobody wants
to
deal with the maintenance cost of a car that's been sitting in a garage putting on any miles.
For the first time, collectors got it wrong. Completely wrong. Not for the first time, because there's some cars that you need to drive to get the engine to, like, feel right, but this time they completely fucked up their chances at selling these cars for a way greater margin later. You know why? If you make those cars sit, if you buy right now a 918 with delivery miles, you're most likely going to have to replace everything on that fucking car, all the electric. If you buy a P1, there's a dude selling a P1 with the original wrap, and like the whole thing is like, I left it with the wrap and everything from the factory, delivery miles. Homie, that car is not going to work.
Nope.
A LaFerrari with no miles, which is all of them.
Yeah.
Even if you drive them. No. But seriously, a LaFerrari with no miles, same shit, dude. And these batteries are so expensive to replace. Like, you're going to be left with a $50, $80, $100, $200,000 bill with any minor thing that happens to those things.
I just had a thought, Alejandro. Do you think people would just be like, fuck it, take the batteries out and I'll just go?
I don't think you can do that on those
cars. It won't.
Oh, you know what? On the McLaren, you can, because that's a
P1
GTR.
Wouldn't you just do that? Just fucking get rid of the battery? Like, if you got a $200,000 bill coming your way.
But then that car is that fast because of that battery.
Right.
You're destroying the car, like the purpose of the car.
Yeah, but you're taking that battery out to save yourself 80 to 100 grand
more
in maintenance costs when it's going to cost you $750,000 to get it turned into an LM to take that battery out, you know?
Yep.
You know when you...
I'd go battery less. The problem with collectors is they want the cars as is. So this is going to be a very interesting curveball for everyone. And this is why, with everything that's going on with the market and the cars not selling at those high prices and people hitting me up left and right about, hey, do you want to buy this? It sounds like it's starting to...
unfold. Things are starting to unfold. Settle.
I'm really scared of buying one of those cars right now.
Oh, you should not buy it.
You cannot. Someone offered me a 918. We were talking about it, Pedro.
Yeah.
A 918. I don't know. I'm terrified right now.
Well, you definitely got out of your 918 at the right time. I think that you definitely did, because now since you got rid of yours, I've seen the market just completely dive.
Yeah.
Like, if you think about it, the LaFerrari, 1.4 million was the MSRP on it.
I got a friend that paid four for two LaFerraris, 4 million each.
Ooh, that's actually 4 million each. You got two for four.
Yeah,
oh
dude.
God. Oh. I thought you were saying he got both of them for four.
No,
million. Wow,
no.
I was like, he got a great.
I was like, wow, what
that.
A lucky dude.
No.
He's
going to
need two batteries.
Yeah, well, but four million. So I mean, that's obviously a very high price. But I mean, they were peaking at five. So I mean, it could have gone even higher than that.
But the five million that they were offering, that smells like a lot of bullshit. There was another car in the block that sold for like 3.2, right? At the same time.
No, I think it was a little more than that, but it still was a big enough difference.
Humongous gap, just because this one was of a weird color. Get the fuck out of here. That smells like, that's so shady. That's so, so the guy who bought it couldn't just go and paint his car, wrap it, anything to look like that, because he was not like an iridescent purple or anything crazy. It was just like black or silver. I can't remember. It was retarded.
Yeah, I remember that one.
So you're going to pay $5 million for that, but then any other Ferrari with less miles. Right. No.
By the way, I usually don't advocate extended warranties, but you better have gotten an extended warranty. When you're in the finance room and they're like...
You know what? That's an interesting thing that car makers should start thinking about right now. Those guys, McLaren, Porsche, and Ferrari. Sell an extended warranty for those cars. Bugatti, so they'll take a humongous shit.
Hasn't Bugatti solved that problem, kind of?
No. Bugatti, what they do is they throw in the maintenance costs.
Oh, the warranty work.
You have your warranty.
No, I'm sorry. They won't sell like an extended warranty.
Like, for example, the Paganis came with a 2-year warranty. At least mine did. And they were saying, if you want to get the Pancetta Tempesta, I'm sorry, I forget the name of the package, whatever package.
The Tempesta package.
Yeah, Tempesta package. They would add another year to the warranty. But it was super expensive. Just not get the warranty? Because I wanted to get the Tempesta. And they were like, no, you need the warranty.
Didn't we have a Tempesta at the restaurant yesterday?
We did. It was delicious.
Sounds like that's
my biggest problem with it. I always relate it to like a dish. So I think that'd be an interesting move by the car makers, because these cars are going to tank.
Tank. So what I want to ask you is, like, with these cars tanking, and they all are great cars. I think that they're incredible cars. They would be amazing to have in the garage. With those prices dropping, would you get into any of them?
Not right now, because the drop is not just going to be the drop and then you're going to be fine. This is the beginning of that drop.
Okay. So at what price, like, since these are dropping, would you get a 918? Would you get a LaFerrari? Would you get a P1? Like,
I think for now it's a no-go for me.
So of them?
I wanted to get into it and just like start flipping them every month and buy one every month. And I don't think it's doable right now. I think the market's just tanking, going down on a free fall. I don't know how deep that fall will be. I don't. I have no fucking idea. It could be 15%, which is nothing, 20%. These cars could also not be so affected by the market, but they're more affected by the warranty work. Fact that Ferrari just dropped another 200 and something apertas that everyone knows about, probably 800 altogether. Like, there's a lot of LaFerraris right now. McLaren, like, coming out with the new cars, the BP23, all of the new hypercars. And not to mention... all of the regular cars, standard cars like the Performante, the AMG GTR, they're starting to lap these cars quicker.
Yeah, they are.
So if you're buying, because to me was, I'm buying the 918 because nothing can, I can take it anywhere, I can go in a rally, no problem, but I'll destroy anything that sets foot next to me.
To me though, like, the market isn't about just the performance numbers anymore. It's just a giant dick swinging competition. That's all it is to me. It's like who can sling
that's
their
why
dick the biggest.
I'm not interesting. I am, but I'm not in that way.
Yeah. No, I'd rather
just do smart buys, because otherwise I'd go broke if I just start spending ridiculous. I don't have retarded money.
Of course, and some people are like, "Oh, Alejandro's just a car flipper." No, he's just you're just a smart investor that knows, like, if you're going to put your money into something like this, why should I lose $200,000 because of the investment on a car?
It's completely retarded. But car flippers also just flip the car when they get it, guys. Just so that you understand your lingo, you buy a car and immediately you flip it.
Yeah.
When someone keeps their cars for over a year, I've had my Carrera GT for almost 2 years now.
Yeah.
2 fucking years.
Yeah.
McLaren, the LT, forget about this one, which I got like January, February. I had the other one. I got the other one like a year ago.
Yeah.
The other LT. So I still consider myself, because I took a humongous loss on that LT.
Yeah. But you actually got that to flip it because you wanted to get it for banging gears and then immediately sell it afterwards and then fell in love with the car.
I didn't want to flip it. I just wanted to use it on the track because no one would loan me one. And then sell it.
Yeah.
Loved the car and then lost my ass because I loved that car. And now I have this one. The my Rolls, my other ghost, I had it for a year. Like, what's this fucking car flipping thing? It's just people don't understand what that means. Just because you make money on every car that you sell, not every car, but you make money or not lose your ass off on every car that you sell, doesn't make you a flipper.
Yeah.
I would love to be a flipper. I would.
You could be a different kind of flipper.
No. I actually, with Evan and everything, I can't. My problem right now is I'm scared of the market. I really am. I don't see people buying these cars.
As you should be. I think the scenarios are going to be with these cars. An owner is going to have a fault with the battery. They're going to have a $200,000 bill. They're going to be like, I'm going to sell.
That's... Yeah.
I envision situations.
And then
that like
dude's going to, whoever picks it up, he's going to pick it up at what, 900, 800, and then fix it, and then what? And then what if that happens again?
Oh, that's right. No, I wonder if they're going to give you warranties.
This is what
on
I'm saying. They need to extend the warranties on these cars. They need to, if they sold those warranty packages, I promise you a lot of people would buy them.
Who's doing that right now? Is Bugatti doing that on
Bugatti's
the
Bugatti's not telling you. They sell you the warranty. So that's why we sidetracked to the Pagani thing, because they do sell you extended warranties, some of these car makers. But the biggest thing with Bugatti is they pre-sell you the maintenance.
Listen,
you might go through some wheels, you might go through this. If you're going to push the car, just give us 50,000 euros or whatever it was, and we'll take care of it.
Yeah.
Which is smart at those prices.
It is smart.
I have a crazy solution for this problem.
Hit it for you.
Okay, it's very simple. You take a big boy battery company, let's say like Duracell.
Or like Rimac.
And just convert them to D or double D batteries or
is this really suggestion?
And then look, and then and the only biggest problem is a huge ribbon across the batteries, so that when you do want to replace them, you just go and all the batteries come out. No, seriously, don't you think? That'd be way cheaper, right?
And then, oh my God.
No?
Mate, if you're listening, that's your free idea.
Oh my God. That wouldn't work? You don't think that'd work?
I don't think Mate listens to these podcasts because he's a genius.
Because he's got better things.
No, because he's a genius.
No. So that's pretty much all we have. I mean, touching back on the car flipping side, one thing that we did learn, and I think we already know, is that in this market now, if you want to play with cars and look good on your investment, bright colors. People want bright colors.
Need not only bright colors, incredible specs.
Yeah, the launch editions don't do it anymore.
Yeah.
People don't want the basic like liquid silvers. They don't want the release oranges and stuff. Even though that's a great color, but that's what the base launch edition is on some of these other cars.
I'm going to tell you this: when the P1 came out, when they you could start putting your order in for a P1, they told me, there's this celebrity who buys all these crazy cars, and he buys them all bare because he knows options do not add anything to the value of the car. He was right until that day. And I saw it myself, where you're selling cars and it doesn't matter. Like, your ranges, because of the spec, weren't affected at all. Like, you could spec a 458 Speciale up to $500,000, and people are going to be like, okay. But now, if you get a rare car and really high spec the shit out of it with really good, like, the collector pieces, which you got to get really lucky. This is why I do what I do the way I do it.
Yeah.
Those cars are going to fetch $100,000, $200,000, $300,000 more than a regular one.
Well, the perfect example is your Acid Green 918.
Yeah.
It ticked every
single
YSAC.
Yeah.
The color.
YSAC, the color, the different interior. It did.
Let me tell you why. Because we're now in a society where we celebrate unique, like we want to show off that we're one of one, that this is who we are.
We have
a platform like Instagram and Facebook and Snapchat to show off. You want people that when they see your picture, they know it's you. And so that's
identifiable.
People with cars are doing that.
Yeah,
you know? That's why Ferrari's struggling right now. It's because it's nothing but red cars.
Yep.
And they don't even let you make it pink.
No, yeah.
Right?
They won't even let you go in the pinky.
And I say Ferrari's struggling right now. They're not struggling. According to their books, they're struggling. But nobody is like being flashy with these cars. You know what I mean?
No younger. There's no younger crowd going, ooh, Ferrari crazy. There's none. They're all going Pagani crazy. They're all going Lamborghini crazy. They're all going Koenigsegg crazy. I'm telling you, they're not.
And I can't wait.
This is not going to last forever, dude. There's a limit for everything. That's not going to last forever. I understand.
No, I get it. But what I'm saying is I cannot wait for this next year or two. The specs that are come out on some of these cars, like people are motivated to be special.
Because they saw some people had the balls to go crazy, and they were like, oh, nothing happened.
And it worked out. Yeah, exactly. It worked out.
Nothing happened. Just like everything. I mean, if you looked at corporate pictures back in the day, like 10 years ago, everyone's wearing the same suit and tie, and right now it's just
people. And now if you wear a suit and tie to work, you're the crazy, weird guy.
Well, I've never trusted people in suits. Let's just start with that. But I'm dead serious, dude. Like, it's all about you. Before, we all wanted to be perfect. Now we all want to be ourselves. Exactly. That is the most fucking beautiful thing about being alive. And that's how we should treat our cars. Yep. And that's why these high-spec cars that are unique, fun, crazy, are fetching the money that they're fetching and not the fucking boring ass specs.
And you know what? I think that that's a perfect spot for us to end it. Guys, if you take anything away from today's episode, be yourself, be unique, be whoever you want to be, but just believe in yourself and continue to strive for that every single day. Guys, thank you so much for listening to our podcast. Do you guys have anything else to say?
I just have one favor for everyone. Please send me more videos of that BMW M5 burning.
You need more cakes?
Please get different angles, different. Please send that. Please,
guys, thank please you so much for listening to today's podcast. You can follow us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Please come check us out at salamandra.com. Brand new website. Got all kinds of features for you. All of our pro members are getting videos early before everyone else on YouTube. There's going to be more and more features that are going to roll out for you guys. So please keep an eye out for them. Once again, thank you so much for everything that you've done for us. I'm Pedro. That's Farshad. And you guys all know Alejandro. See you next week.
Peace. In the pants.